Tarea 2.
Tonight we're talking about music and well-being and how academics and medical professionals are thinking about creativity and participation as tools for a healthier body and mind. I'm Naomi Paxton and here with me is Dr. Daisy Fancourt. So Daisy, you've been researching the effects of music on different groups. Why does music make us feel and how do those feelings affect our minds and bodies?
Well, music is an incredibly complex activity. So if we consider just the sound of music itself, there are aspects of musical composition that can affect us. So, for example, the speed, the tempo of the music, that can affect our arousal levels, like our blood pressure, our heart rate, our stress hormones. We also find that the structure and harmonies in music can induce emotions in us. So, for example, if it's a very happy piece of music, we might find ourselves just feeling happy from listening to it. Or it can evoke emotions, for example, by reminding us of events in our lives and therefore leading to a memory of those particular emotions. And all of this is linked in with reward circuits in the brain, so the release of pleasure hormones such as dopamine. But that's just listening to music. And of course, many musical activities involve more than that. So if we consider, for example, singing in a choir, this also involves us having social interactions, building our social support networks, reducing loneliness. It also involves us perhaps leaving our houses, therefore reducing sedentary behaviours, involving gentle physical activity. And behaviourally, it can also build our self-esteem, our confidence, our skills, and this might lead us to go and try new activities as well. So essentially, music is, in a sense, a thing, but it's also a vehicle to lots of other things that we know are good for our mental and physical health.
So Daisy, so some people find it hard to access opportunities in person for a variety of reasons, but there are also online projects that can reach those who might not be able to physically travel. And one I know that you've been working on is an international and virtual choir, which sounds fabulous. So what were your questions about virtual participation, and what were the benefits of virtual participation rather than physical, or I suppose face-to-face group participation?
Well, I first heard about virtual choirs a couple of years ago and just thought it was the most incredible concept that you could sing in a choir from your own bedroom. And the choir that I worked with for this was the composer Eric Whittaker's virtual choirs. And these run every few years. And they're very much a cult activity. They get thousands of people joining each time a new one is announced. So we decided to do a study trying to look at the differences in experience from people who take part in virtual or live choirs. And we particularly looked at emotional responses to being involved in a choir. And what we found was that people who engage in these virtual choirs, and this typically involves you recording your own parts in a piece and uploading it onto the internet, at which point then some very clever people pull this, all these different recordings, into an overall video where everyone's face is visible at some point and all the voices are beautifully blended together. And what we found was that people who sang in the virtual choir actually still had emotional benefits, just like people who sang in the live choir. We found they had slightly lower emotional benefits in some respects, but there was one area that, in fact, they had stronger emotional responses, and this was particularly to do with how much they felt their confidence had improved or their self-esteem had improved. And actually, when we think about it, it's not that surprising, because I guess if you sing in a live choir, there might well be that nervousness about are people around you going to notice if you sing out of tune? Are you going to be happy with your performance? Whereas I guess doing it at home, you get the chance to re-record until you're happy with your piece and then upload it. And you've got it as a product to listen back to as well. But this is really nice because we know that some people don't have access to a choir or they're unable to leave their home to go and join one. So it's great to know that as technology is developing, there are innovative ways of getting involved in choirs like these virtual choirs that can still have emotional benefits.
That sounds very cool. We're particularly talking about music tonight, but what other kinds of or other areas of arts and culture positively affect health and well-being?
Well, the concept that arts affects our health has been linked in with us for about 40,000 years. Some of the earliest evidence of the arts that we have is arts that we think was used within fertility or healing rituals. But we've really started to get proper scientific evidence over the last couple of decades on this. And I think what's interesting here is that we're finding that engagement with arts activities is linked in both with a lower risk of developing mental or physical illness and also a higher rate of recovery. So it's got that prevention and that treatment angle. And I think some people have asked in the past about, is this sort of getting in the way of the idea of art for art's sake? But interestingly, we're finding these benefits not just from specific programs that are targeted trying to achieve a health impact, but from general engagement as well. So things like going to the proms tonight, probably most people aren't doing that because they specifically want to improve their health. They're probably doing it because they like the program, they enjoy the idea of going to the concert, and they want the experience. But what we're finding is that these everyday arts activities are having benefits as well. We just haven't been as aware of these in the past. So the studies that we're now conducting, we're using very large data sets that have tracked people across decades of involvement. And we're finding that things like arts engagement in childhood is linked in with behavioural, social, psychological and physical aspects of our health, even decades later. So it's a really interesting avenue for research because it's suggesting the importance of encouraging engagements, particularly in childhood, but also of carving out the space in our lives to continue engaging across the lifespan.
Tonight we're talking about music and well-being and how academics and medical professionals are thinking about creativity and participation as tools for a healthier body and mind. I'm Naomi Paxton and here with me is Dr. Daisy Fancourt. So Daisy, you've been researching the effects of music on different groups. Why does music make us feel and how do those feelings affect our minds and bodies?
Well, music is an incredibly complex activity. So if we consider just the sound of music itself, there are aspects of musical composition that can affect us. So, for example, the speed, the tempo of the music, that can affect our arousal levels, like our blood pressure, our heart rate, our stress hormones. We also find that the structure and harmonies in music can induce emotions in us. So, for example, if it's a very happy piece of music, we might find ourselves just feeling happy from listening to it. Or it can evoke emotions, for example, by reminding us of events in our lives and therefore leading to a memory of those particular emotions. And all of this is linked in with reward circuits in the brain, so the release of pleasure hormones such as dopamine. But that's just listening to music. And of course, many musical activities involve more than that. So if we consider, for example, singing in a choir, this also involves us having social interactions, building our social support networks, reducing loneliness. It also involves us perhaps leaving our houses, therefore reducing sedentary behaviours, involving gentle physical activity. And behaviourally, it can also build our self-esteem, our confidence, our skills, and this might lead us to go and try new activities as well. So essentially, music is, in a sense, a thing, but it's also a vehicle to lots of other things that we know are good for our mental and physical health.
So Daisy, so some people find it hard to access opportunities in person for a variety of reasons, but there are also online projects that can reach those who might not be able to physically travel. And one I know that you've been working on is an international and virtual choir, which sounds fabulous. So what were your questions about virtual participation, and what were the benefits of virtual participation rather than physical, or I suppose face-to-face group participation?
Well, I first heard about virtual choirs a couple of years ago and just thought it was the most incredible concept that you could sing in a choir from your own bedroom. And the choir that I worked with for this was the composer Eric Whittaker's virtual choirs. And these run every few years. And they're very much a cult activity. They get thousands of people joining each time a new one is announced. So we decided to do a study trying to look at the differences in experience from people who take part in virtual or live choirs. And we particularly looked at emotional responses to being involved in a choir. And what we found was that people who engage in these virtual choirs, and this typically involves you recording your own parts in a piece and uploading it onto the internet, at which point then some very clever people pull this, all these different recordings, into an overall video where everyone's face is visible at some point and all the voices are beautifully blended together. And what we found was that people who sang in the virtual choir actually still had emotional benefits, just like people who sang in the live choir. We found they had slightly lower emotional benefits in some respects, but there was one area that, in fact, they had stronger emotional responses, and this was particularly to do with how much they felt their confidence had improved or their self-esteem had improved. And actually, when we think about it, it's not that surprising, because I guess if you sing in a live choir, there might well be that nervousness about are people around you going to notice if you sing out of tune? Are you going to be happy with your performance? Whereas I guess doing it at home, you get the chance to re-record until you're happy with your piece and then upload it. And you've got it as a product to listen back to as well. But this is really nice because we know that some people don't have access to a choir or they're unable to leave their home to go and join one. So it's great to know that as technology is developing, there are innovative ways of getting involved in choirs like these virtual choirs that can still have emotional benefits.
That sounds very cool. So we're particularly talking about music tonight, but what other kinds of or other areas of arts and culture positively affect health and well-being?
Well, the concept that arts affects our health has been linked in with us for about 40,000 years. Some of the earliest evidence of the arts that we have is arts that we think was used within fertility or healing rituals. But we've really started to get proper scientific evidence over the last couple of decades on this. And I think what's interesting here is that we're finding that engagement with arts activities is linked in both with a lower risk of developing mental or physical illness and also a higher rate of recovery. So it's got that prevention and that treatment angle. And I think some people have asked in the past about, is this sort of getting in the way of the idea of art for art's sake? But interestingly, we're finding these benefits not just from specific programs that are targeted trying to achieve a health impact, but from general engagement as well. So things like going to the proms tonight, probably most people aren't doing that because they specifically want to improve their health. They're probably doing it because they like the program, they enjoy the idea of going to the concert, and they want the experience. But what we're finding is that these everyday arts activities are having benefits as well. We just haven't been as aware of these in the past. So the studies that we're now conducting, we're using very large data sets that have tracked people across decades of involvement. And we're finding that things like arts engagement in childhood is linked in with behavioural, social, psychological and physical aspects of our health, even decades later. So it's a really interesting avenue for research because it's suggesting the importance of encouraging engagement, particularly in childhood, but also of carving out the space in our lives to continue engaging across the lifespan.